We'll move on to the second case of the morning. Luther Woods versus Perry County. Mr. McKenna.
Thank you, Judge. May it please the court. I'm here today for the appellant, Deputy Luther Woods, in his discrimination claim against Sheriff Keith Kellerman. And I believe the key issue in this case for the court to address is the question of whether or not there's evidence in this record to show that Sheriff Kellerman would not have terminated Deputy Woods if he were not black. And there is evidence in this record to show that Sheriff Kellerman had not terminated other employees. All the other peace officers in this department are white. They've committed rule violations, and they have not been terminated by Sheriff Kellerman. Deputy Woods, who admittedly has engaged in rules violations in this department, who is also, as admitted by the employees of the department, a good officer who's done his job well for over 13 years. He is the head of the, or was the head of the DARE program in this department. Received numerous commendations and citations from the department as well as members of the community. He engages in a rule violation that is similar, if not less severe, than ones engaged in by other deputies, other employees of this department, and he's terminated.
District Court finds that these seven comparables were in fact not similarly situated in that none of them violated a policy, then received a specific order not to commit the same violation, and then went ahead and violated the same rule. And if they weren't comparable, and I guess wasn't it the fact that some of them might have violated policies under a different supervisor, but I can't remember that. But anyway, the district court rejects the idea that you've just put on the table, that in fact these are comparable.
With all due respect to the district court judge, I think the district court looked at that issue of similarly situated too narrowly. And just by what the judge put in his order, looking at the fact that Deputy Woods was different because he engaged in violations, was disciplined, engaged in another violation, and then was terminated.
Well, engaged in the same violation again after being told, do not have this man in the car with you, he gives him the ride to Springfield, right?
That's correct. And the reason he gave the ride to Springfield is because this man was contemplating suicide.
But he didn't tell his supervisor that. He didn't say, look, I need a dispensation from this rule because I'm now faced with a crisis situation. For all I know, the Sheriff Kellerman might have said, I understand the urgency. You have one day permission to do this or something. It's the idea that he can sort of take matters into his own hands for reasons that are sufficient to him that's a little troubling in a kind of paramilitary organization like a sheriff's department.
And that's true, Judge. Deputy Woods did take this man on the ride without telling his supervisors. But
in direct contravention of the order that he'd been given.
That's correct. The issue, though, is if Deputy Woods was white, would he have been terminated because of that?
The thing is, there weren't any white people who had done precisely that. There were white people who, you know, the golf tournament guy, and there were other people who, you know, gave their kids rides to school and stuff, but not the same thing, really.
The point, Judge, is that in very few of these cases will you ever find someone who is doing the exact same things as in a case involving a black person who's fired. They're rarely fired because they're doing the exact same thing of another person. And a smart company is going to make sure that they look for things that the black employee is doing that are maybe violations and are slightly different than the white employees, and that's the reason for the discharge. I think what I would urge the court to look at is the comparable seriousness of the rules violations of the white employees versus the only black employee, Deputy Woods.
He had other violations, not quite that serious, but things that he was corrected about or admonished about, et cetera, and he wasn't discharged. It wouldn't look like they were trying to set him up. It looked like they were addressing them, but not with this. This is sort of an all or nothing violation. This guy is a felon. It's a strict rule not to associate, much less give people rides in the squad car, felons. And he did, and as Judge Wood points out, without a mitigating circumstance, such as saying, well, I've got a real problem here, and I need to do this. I don't know how long a ride it is from wherever he went to Springfield, or why he was going to Springfield. Was he on duty?
He was going to Springfield because I believe he had to pick up some equipment. I believe
right,
that's correct.
It was an official trip.
That's correct. And so this comes back to who should make the final decision as to if a white employee had done the same thing, whether or not that employee would have been terminated. When you look at other employees, like the correctional officers in this case, one of whom is asleep, I think one of whom falls asleep on the job, another one who lets a prisoner escape. We have two deputies who refuse to arrest someone who is blatantly in violation of our DWI laws in this state. None of those people are terminated. Deputy Woods engages in something, and Deputy Woods' claim in this case is that he took Mr. Clark to Springfield in order to counsel him because he was suicidal. This is why this case needs to go to a jury, because only the people in this community can decide whether or not similar conduct by a white employee of this department would have resulted in termination, especially when you're talking about an officer, a deputy like Deputy Woods, who's had a long career, a successful career as a good deputy in this department.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be reasonable to seek some prior approval or just at least make a call? I think what you're arguing about, as I get it, is there was some real necessity here that he violate this explicit rule, explicit direction that was given to him.
I don't think it would be unreasonable, Judge, for him to make a call to do that, and I don't know from the record why he did not. What I can say is that in other situations, like in the situation I believe involving the deputies who did not arrest the drunken motorist, Sheriff Kellerman testified, well, it was their discretion whether or not to arrest this individual. Sheriff Kellerman also admits that failing to arrest a drunken driver can be neglect of duty under the department's guidelines. And so that's why it's a situation where, in balancing the conduct that Deputy Woods committed with the conduct of the white officers in this department, whether or not it was as or more serious, that's a question of fact for the jury.
Okay.
And if there are no other questions, I'll save time for rebuttal.
All right, thank you. Ms. Brooke?
May it please the court. The district court was correct in granting summary judgment in favor of Sheriff Kellerman. There was no evidence of a Section 1981 violation. There's no direct evidence of discrimination. I believe in the appellant's brief, there's some reference to error by the district court judge to consider evidence of direct statements made by Sheriff Kellerman. In fact, the record shows there are no direct statements of a racial nature made by Sheriff Kellerman at any time during this case.
But this morning, Mr. McKenna is really focusing on these comparables, and he does raise a valid point when he says that the employer can just lie in wait for you to do something slightly different and then turn around and say, well, nobody violated Rule 17.032 before, and so I'm going to use that as the reason to fire you, whereas there should be, don't you think, some notion of comparable seriousness of offense?
Absolutely, and I believe that this court can look at what the various rule violations were by other employees and make that determination of, is this rule violation of comparable seriousness? The problem that the plaintiff got into in this case is that on summary judgment, in order to establish his prima facie case, it's his burden to come forth with evidence to show that these individuals, in fact, are similarly situated. And in order to meet that burden, he really has a two-pronged inquiry. First, he has to show that these people are subject to the same standards. He hasn't met that burden. He throws out these anecdotes.
What about these DUI people? I mean, leaving somebody with a blood alcohol level, you know, an excessive 0.2 on the road could lead to death of other people in the area. Sadly enough, it does a lot, whereas having somebody who's a drug dealer sit in the front seat of your car for a few hundred miles isn't really likely to lead to a fatality. So why is it, in fact, more serious to let the drunk driver go out and run into whoever he runs into?
There are actually two reasons. The first reason is that, going back to Deputy Spears' deposition testimony, what he said is that he typically would prepare a report based on whatever the incident may be. He puts that report into a file. It's not something that he normally would show to the sheriff. The sheriff testified that he had never seen the report. He was not aware that these deputies, in fact, believed that this individual was intoxicated. So there's no evidence of knowledge by Sheriff Kellerman that these people behaved inappropriately in the first place in order for him to make a decision on discipline. And then the statement concerning whether or not he gives these people discretion to make that decision on charging persons with intoxication was more of a generalized statement of what his principles are and how he operates his department, as opposed to a specific commentary on that arrest or that failure to arrest. The second reason why it's not relevant in this case is because Deputy Woods was operating essentially on a third strike. He had already been warned three separate times, twice by the sheriff and once by Chief Deputy, not to associate with this individual. And in fact, after three separate warnings, he did associate with that person. These two deputies that were involved in the DUI, this was a first offense type situation. They were not specifically warned to not give people passes when there was a suspected drunken driver on the road, and then they failed to comply with that direct order. And where plaintiff gets into a problem in this case is that he's asking this court to substitute its decision-making for that of the sheriff and decide that certain conduct by employees should not be given a break, that people should just be terminated immediately for that type of offense, as opposed to what occurred here, where Deputy Woods was given an opportunity to conform his conduct to the requirements of the department. And in fact, that's what did happen. He went to Hardee's with Joe Clark. After the sheriff found out about it, he said to him, "Don't do it again." And the fact that we haven't come up with people that are similarly situated shows that the plaintiff has not met his prima facie case. And then, even assuming that we get to the pretext stage, Sheriff Kellerman has offered explanations for why he treated each one of these people differently. And there's no evidence brought forward by the plaintiff to rebut that, to show that those reasons are not worthy of belief or that they're untrue. The other issue that is really key here is on pretext. The court should also, pursuant to McDonnell Douglas, look at how the sheriff treated Mr. Woods while he was employed in the department. The evidence shows that during his employment, he was given training, he was given opportunities that other employees were not. He also was given a number of breaks, the most significant of which is that Deputy Woods had admitted to stealing gasoline while he was employed by the department as a sworn law enforcement officer. Certainly that in and of itself could have warranted termination. He didn't terminate him for that. It's also significant that after this particular incident, the sheriff gave the deputy the opportunity to either resign or be terminated. They got together with the FOP. There was a suggestion made that maybe we can come up with something a little bit less than termination here. How about a 30-day suspension? And in fact, that was offered by the sheriff to Deputy Woods. He's the one who turned it down. So if there is a discriminatory motive by the sheriff, why would he allow him
to be suspended as opposed to terminating him. He would have simply not agreed to the FOP suggestion. Given that there's no evidence of pretext and there's no prima facie violation, there's also no evidence of a 1983 violation. 1983 is an even higher standard than 1981. There's no evidence of a custom of racial discrimination. There's no equal protection claim because he's not similarly situated to these other individuals.
You're addressing the claim actually against the county itself right now?
There's a claim against the sheriff individually under 1983 because he is the policymaker. He's the one who runs the department.
Okay.
So there's a separate count.
The Monell claim, yeah.
There's a count against him for that, and and essentially the fact that it is a higher standard, there's no evidence of purposeful discrimination in this case, and for that reason, unless there's any questions, I would ask that the district court judgment be affirmed.
Okay, thank you. Do you have anything else? Okay.
I'd just like to note on the issue of pretext, which counsel addressed, that as in the Curry versus Menard case, and the plaintiff here has produced evidence that other white employees who committed rule violations, which I think there's a question of fact whether or not they're comparably serious, those white employees were not fired. I think that also goes to the issue of pretext, and it's a question of fact on that issue whether or not the reason given by Sheriff Kellerman these rule violations was the real reason for Deputy Wood's discharge in this case. Unless there are any other questions, that I ask the court to reverse the district court and send this back for a jury trial. Thank you.
Okay, fine. Thank you. The case will be taken under advisement.